1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You know, other radio shows would, after executing an hour like the last hour we executed, other radio shows would then spend the next 60 minutes basking in the glory and the glow of it. Other radio shows would spend the next hour taking ass-licking calls from their listeners saying just how fantastically brilliant and marvelous, and would basically blow off any audience that they were able to gain through that great hour with all the butt-licking that they got for the next hour, see? So we won't do that. We'll just sit here and compliment ourselves. I particularly liked how, when that poor girl burst into tears, we copped to the whole act and said, you know what? It's Phil doing a fake voice. Did you notice right away she started to laugh? Right away she was just feeling good that there weren't hopeless mental midgets running the earth like Bobby and Steve, that they are simply figments of my imagination and products of my experience. Why are Bobby and Steve so effective? Well, because we know people like that. They're everywhere. I saw them as a kid growing up. I saw the parents. I saw parents that were trying to be hip, trying to get us to hang around the house. And there were a lot of different reasons. There was one woman that we came to actually love and respect. And you know, I'm not going to cop to anybody's identity here, but her son had been killed in an automobile accident the year before. And suddenly she felt the need to have his friends there at the house. We sort of used that home on a Friday night to connect, and I think it was her way of dealing with her grief over the death of her son. But you know what? We've all remained friends to this day. And all of us, with a few exceptions, all of us turned out okay. But I know that there are some parents who desperately want to be seen as kind of a peer, an equal of the young people they have in their home. And just in case you're wondering, I'm not one of them. I don't mind people coming over and shooting pool. I don't mind people coming over and getting in the pool and swimming. You know, a lot of different things I don't mind. And then there's some things I do mind. Like taking the golf balls out of my golf bag, which is in the garage, as they did a couple of months back when we were out of town, and hitting the balls down on my neighbor's property and knocking one of his windows out. I don't dig that. That's $170. So our eldest is doing this now. He's saying, you know, I'm old enough now, and I got a car, and why can't I go out on Friday and Saturday night? I said, there's no real reason why you can't go out on a Friday and Saturday night, but you got to understand something. Don't you trust me? No, but you got to understand something, man. Yes, we trust you. We trust you to be 16. Now, I know you're a decent guy. You're a great guy. I respect you, and I do trust you, but I also understand that you're 16, man. You just ain't seen it all yet. It doesn't mean that I think you're a bad guy if I know you're going to go out into that world and you're going to get your ass kicked a little bit, man. It's not because you're a bad guy. It's not because I don't trust you to be a good guy. It's that I trust you to be 16. It means you're going to make some mistakes. You just are. Guaranteed. I don't care who you are right now. If you listen to this show and you're under the age of 18, you hit 18 and you go out into the world, you'll get your ass kicked a little bit if you haven't already. And I know many of you listening to me right now, you've probably lived lifetimes before your 18th birthday. I don't know what kind of hell some kids go through in this world. One can only imagine. But your average suburban kid is going to go out and get his butt kicked. So if you're any kind of an adult, you lay some ground rules down. So he wants to go out, and I said to my wife, look, you got to let the kid go out and howl a little bit, man. I mean, he's a boy. He's 16. He's got wheels. There's chicks. There's the beach. What, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, yeah, let's sit home and play old maid. You know, you want to sit home with the family? As long as he's hanging with us a little bit, okay? Because by the time he's 18, he's going to be gone forever. And we do. We would like the pleasure of his company. So you got to hang with the family a little bit. Maybe one night a week during the summer, he's going to get to go out and scream a little bit because they got some club that's opening up for teens. So, fine. Just remember what I told you. Anyway, so I'm the evil stepdad, but, you know, we got a bunch of teenagers, and I don't know why I'm even talking about this. It's boring. Okay, 1-800-449. Oh, I know why I was talking about it, because of that last hour we were doing it with Bobby and Steve and their hip parental thing. You know, the kids really want to come over here and, you know, hang and, grow up. Just grow up, man. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, Ted Nugent and Ozzy Osbourne got into it. I don't know if you heard about this. Ozzy Osbourne's daughter cut an album. You know, it was funny when the story was brought to me today. Somebody said, hey, look at this. Ozzy Osbourne's daughter cut an album. I said, so what? Or she didn't cut an album. She's got a track on an album that the entire family sings on. Or something like that. I don't know. I said, well, so what? The story is Ted Nugent saying that Ozzy Osbourne is a blithering, hopeless idiot. And that Ozzy Osbourne's family said, why don't you go back to the freaking sausage factory where you belong? See? See, to me, that's the big story there. Ted Nugent and Ozzy Osbourne giving crap to each other. Now, I feel that I have a particularly objective point of view on this, since I never really liked either one of those bands. I didn't particularly like, I thought it was like one or two songs that Nugent did that I liked. And Sabbath, I never liked. How could you like Sabbath? It's the same freaking song over and over again. And then, after the record company got wind of the image, then they began to contrive that image to the point of comedy. I mean, if you saw any later Black Sabbath videos, this is after Ozzy left the band, by the way, they were ridiculous portrayals of hell. You know, smoking bats. Oh, I get it. It's like hell, like bats and everything, right? Yeah, that's what it is, man. Glad you finally got with it. What are you, nuts? Oh, okay, let's do a video with them all just, you know, it's like Johnny Rotten. So who's that other cat, man? Johnny Rotten, he was punk. He was Sex Pistols, not the same thing. Well, you know, it's the same. No, that's not the same thing. Anyway, now these guys are giving each other crap. Now, where's Ted Nugent? Ted Nugent is a guy who's sitting out there. He's a gun enthusiast. He's a hunting freak. I don't know what the hell he is. But I saw him on TV the other day, and I couldn't it was like Ted Nugent's face, but it was the voice of Ted Bell. Did you see this? I flipped it. I said to Chris, here, what's wrong with the remote? Do we have this on CNBC? The hell? Ted Nugent's talking, but he said like this.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's really fantastic to be a deputy sheriff.
Right, and Ozzy is looking at me like, and you're the one calling me a blithering idiot. I'm speechless. I freaking hate it. I hate it.
You know something, Ozzy? I think you're blithering idiot. I used to be a deputy sheriff.
You're a deputy sheriff. You're a bleeping fool.
This guy is talking about gun ownership, hunting, the fact that he was a deputy sheriff, wearing a leather jacket and a kind of plaid shirt, the hair pulled back into the post-boomer obligatory ponytail, streaks of gray running through it just for the perfect effect, talking about how he's going to kick ass on anybody that doesn't let him have his gun. He's got the Elmer Fudd hunting hat on with the little feather coming up, the pork pie hat, and the big horn going, you know,
milkmaid.
And there's him, and then I flip over to Ozzy, stumbling around, can't wipe his own rear end. I'm thinking, this is great. Those two guys have now become the preeminent symbols of boomer music appreciation. This is what we've dug. This is what we've made. This is what we've elevated. Ozzy and Ted. Ozzy with the
coffee,
and Ted Nugent with the whole Ted Bell.
You know something, being a deputy sheriff in Michigan for many years,
I couldn't believe it was a guy. Can you imagine going to a concert?
Hey, Ted, Cat Scratch Fever.
All right, we're gonna play Cat Scratch Fever here in just a minute.
Free for all.
Okay, wait till I get into my loincloth.
Yeah, okay. Get into your loincloth and fire a flaming arrow with a picture of Bin Laden or whatever you're going to do.
Then
Ozzy can go out and do his thing. Fellow rocker, gun enthusiast, and radio personality. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Everybody's a radio personality, too, now. Ted Nugent's a radio personality. Recently said the show is, quote, an indictment, meaning the Ozzy Osbourne show, an indictment of the soullessness of modern man, that we get a kick out of witnessing a magnificent creature reduced to a blithering, hopeless idiot. Osbourne's family, hearing Nugent's comments for the first time on Wednesday, offered a stinging rebuke. Tell him to go back into the freaking sausage factory, his wife said. I think it's a lot of jealousy, added Ozzy Osbourne, who once bit the head off of a live bat on stage, albeit accidentally. My life has been full of sticks and stones. If Ted Nugent has an opinion, fine. I don't agree with the way he goes out and kills wildlife for no reason at all. Although I did bite the head off of a bat for no reason at all, and a dove for no reason at all. But let's not talk about that. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So who's cooler, Ozzy or Ted? Now, think about it. Ozzy is the chemical casualty with the big hit show, a tight-knit family, a bright wife, beautiful kids, quote, beautiful, end quote, kids, cool-looking house, very funny, on TV every week. Okay, that's Ozzy. On the other side is Ted Nugent, straight-spoken, conservative, Midwest arena rocker, post-boomer, pro-American, very hot wife, which, well, I better not say anything about Ozzy's wife, but Ted's got a very hot wife. There you go. On the one side, some blithering limey, who is number one on American television. On the other side, the star-spangled boy, the arena rocker himself, Ted Nugent. On the one side, you have Ozzy Osbourne, sort of the stumbling, dry sense of humor, drank too much and probably still does, but means well, sarcastic sense of humor, really bugs you until you want to kick his ass, then he says he's just kidding, mate, kind of a limey. And then on the other side, you have the straight-talking, gun rack, loves long hair, plays the peace rock stuff, but will beat your ass if you lean on his truck, Ted Nugent. On the one side, you have Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy, came out of the smoke and the dust of Birmingham, England, the working-class garage band that Black Sabbath was. Ozzy just absolutely gonzo, just lived his life to the fullest, somehow came out the other side relatively unscathed, although he probably has a modicum of brain damage. Looks like times he has epilepsy, so you sort of feel sorry for him. And the other side, you have Ted Nugent, from the Midwest, from the Steel Belt, hard-working boy, hunted with his daddy on weekends, got himself an electric guitar, tuned it up there in the garage out near the barn or where they keep the tractor, got himself a job with the Amboy Dukes there out of New Jersey, had a couple of hits, and one of the guys that guts to be the pro-American kind of a scumbag guy that he is. So who's cooler? 1-800-449-8686. We'll post these results on the Dr. Laura website. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Ted Nugent is leading the voting by 51%. Only 51%. Who's cooler? And I say cooler, I can't think of another phrase. Who's more on target? Whose life is going, I don't know, whose life would you like to have? Ted Nugent's or Ozzy Osbourne's? Maybe that's a better question, although I don't know. And the reason why we're asking this and the reason why we're even talking about it at all is because it's an interesting aspect to the story on Ozzy Osbourne's daughter recording Papa Don't Preach. It's kind of funny, but I think what's funnier is Ted Nugent calling Ozzy Osbourne a blithering idiot. A blithering idiot. This is Ted Nugent, who is, as you know, been very, very, very visible over the last several years as a hunting guy. I don't know what his kick was with hunting. I guess he loves to hunt. He also uses a crossbow, doesn't he? A bow and arrow. I don't care what anybody says. That's sadistic. I'm trying to think, if you've got a weapon like a firearm with a bullet that can dispatch an animal quickly, why would you use a bow and arrow? You going to tell me that's any cleaner? I think at some point, I got to call Ted Nugent on his bullcrap. I think the guy is entitled to anything that he wants to be, do, as long as it's within the law. He can represent and present himself any way that he wants, but I got a right to call him on his BS. And you're going to tell me your bow and arrow is anything more than a return to the days of yore, those fine old days of caveman times, You know, way back when we had family values and the guy was beating the crap out of the woman with a big, you know, a big club and then dragging her into the cave. Now, the whole idea with bow and arrow hunting is the arrow's got to go through the heart so it's more challenging. Okay, so challenging for the human, a little bit more painful for the animal. So, Ted, I'm calling you on your BS there. What?
When it goes to the heart, it kills it.
If it goes to the heart, it kills it instantaneously. But if you miss, I bet you don't feel too good. Right now, Ted Nugent leads the voting over Ozzy Osbourne by 51%. Which guy is less of a jackass? How about that? Ted Nugent refers to Ozzy Osbourne as a blithering idiot. Ozzy Osbourne calls Ted Nugent jealous of the life that Ozzy Osbourne has. 1-800-449-8686. And then we got this Indian mascot thing that's still in the news. You know, let me just say this. You didn't hear about this one? They're still bugged about Indian mascot names. They don't want anybody using an Indian mascot name. They don't want any of these sports teams using an Indian mascot name. And you know what? Maybe they shouldn't. If it's going to cause all the problems that it's causing, whatever happened to the good old animal names like bears, ducks, penguins, rodents, anything like this? If I got to hear one more person say that I don't want to hear Comanche or Apache, or somebody else say that they'd have the right to use Comanche or Apache, I'm going to start bleeding from the ears. Let's just go back to the good old days of rodent, Morro Bay kangaroo rat, I don't care what you want to call your team. Make it a law. You can't call it anything human other than buccaneer, which sounds, well, never mind.
Say, I want to call my team the Buccaneers.
Be my guest. You go right ahead there, man, and you can put all the black and pewter on their uniforms you want. You're still called the Buccaneers. These guys won't let go of this Indian nickname. Look, I don't think it's cool. I don't particularly like to hear it. I'm not going to, you know, who am I to tell anybody what they're supposed to do or can't do or can do? And they want to call themselves the Blackskins, the Redskins, the Brownskins. I suppose they ought to be allowed to do it. Somebody's upset about it. Look, Indians, American Indians, have been crapped on for so long, and they have so puny a voice in their own affairs that people can pretty much say anything they want about an Indian and get away with it. You can say anything you want. You can do anything you want. You can name your football team the Redskins, which, by the way, the Washington Redskins at one time were owned by one of the most notorious racists and scumbags that the National Football League and the United States of America had ever seen before, a guy by the name of Marshall. And this guy finally drafted a black player back in the 60s named Bobby Mitchell. Finally, this guy relented and put a black player on his team. But he wouldn't let it go at that. He had the entire team stand up and sing Dixie and made Bobby stand up and sing it too. Come on, Mitchell, sing a little louder. Let's go. So there you go. That's the Redskins. That's what's operating in their gene pool. I just think, well, right now we got enough good names. You don't have to call yourself the Comanches or the Apaches or any other dopey name like that, because it's only going to piss people off. And anybody that's going to name themselves after an Indian, you know what everybody's getting bugged about. Why would you do it? Why? Because you want to start some problems? You want to start some trouble. Is that it? If the guy doesn't want you to call yourself the Powwow Boys or whatever, then don't call yourself that. Look at this. There's plenty of fish, car parts. They got a team called the Pistons. They're naming themselves after car parts. Call yourself the Pistons. Call yourself the Differentials. Call yourself the Carburetors, the Tailpipes. See what kind of stickers you get from that.
Yes, the Houston Tailpipes are... the Tailpipes and the Crankshafts.
Want to call yourself a fish? The Marlin, the Swordfish, the Halibut. How about the Filet? The New Jersey Fillets take the field. All right. Hey, that's my team. Just knock it off with the engine stuff, all right? Nobody wants it. Nobody digs it. The Indians don't dig it. Call yourself the Sushis. Call yourself the Sushi Chefs. Anything, man. Okay, car. Like a kitchen utensil. The blenders. The spoons. The what? How about the can openers? That's a good one. The can openers versus the tailpipes. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier is on, our entertainment reporter. The Star Wars movie, Doug.
Yep.
So it debuted last night, and you went?
I did go.
What'd you think?
Well, it's difficult. I guess for a lot of people it might be difficult to say what I'm going to say, but I'm because I could lose my job. But I went to our local premiere last night here in Orange County. The movie's terrible. It's ridiculous. Again, I'm going out on a limb with this too. One of the reasons why.
Well, wait a minute. You're going out on a limb with what?
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to your audience, the new Star Wars movie, Attack of the Clones, is trash. It sucks.
Well, you're not going out on a limb, man, because everybody has said this. Every journalist.
Wait. Because let's back up just a little bit, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. One of the reasons why I feel what I say is I'm controversial. And one of the reasons why I say I feel as if I could be on the line and my job could be on the line is when a gay man and a gay journalist, which is what I am, says that one of the biggest movies in history blows, people are going to be upset. People don't like getting bagged on by gays.
Everybody is. Well, why don't people want to get bagged on by gays?
Because gays have nothing to lose. We'll go for it. I'll tell you right now, that movie was the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen. George Lucas ought to put a bag over his head before he walks down Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, so you don't like it?
Yeah.
Big deal. There's a lot of guys that don't.
Boy, you're missing the point. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist. Here we go again with you being gay. Okay?
No, not here we go again.
Well, why is it so every time I talk to you, man, you're telling me about how gay you are.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist in a very, very touchy profession, which is reviewing films. Star Wars, Attack of the Clones, sucks on wheels. And the reason why it's controversial for me to say it is because when a gay man says that something's bad, we go for it. We don't have the usual fear that a straight man would have. Okay? And I'm telling you right now that the Star Wars movie is to the film industry what gonorrhea would be to the Virgin Mary.
Come on.
No, I'm telling you right now. It is.
Oh, come on. Now you're over the top.
No, I'm not. How am I over the top?
Well, wait a second, man. Are you saying that you got to be really over the... Are you saying...
I'm not over the top. How am I over the top?
Are you saying... You just said that the Star Wars movie is to the film industry what gonorrhea would be to the Virgin Mary.
That's right.
And you got to say that because you're gay.
I don't have to say it because I'm gay. I say it because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm honest. And I don't hold back like a lot of these straight journalists do.
So everybody who is straight who bags on the movie isn't being as honest as you.
Everybody who is straight who's bagging on the movie is holding back. I don't hold back. I let it go. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when a gay man and a gay journalist comes out, defies the odds, and speaks the truth about Attack of the Clones, I could be committing career suicide, but I'm here and I'm telling you.
Doug, let me tell you something.
You know how great it must be, Phil, to be you, Mr. Straight, okay?
And no, it's not great.
But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I live my life the way those guys in Vietnam live their lives. Natalie Portman is the worst actress in the world. They could have gotten a better performance out of a trained monkey. This guy they've got, this hair, whatever that guy is, Anakin Skywalker, is terrible. The movie's got no coherence. The movie has no entertaining plot line. The movie's full of all kinds of special effects that are very wearing after about the first 5 minutes. Now, I'm saying it like it is. I'll tell you right now, they might as well have just released the polio virus into all of those theaters rather than...
Are you listening to what you're saying, man?
Yeah, I'm listening to what I'm saying.
No, you're not listening to what you're saying. They might as well released the polio virus into a movie theater as shown this Star Wars movie.
That's right. And the reason why...
I've never heard anything like that.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I've never heard anything like that. Because I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, I've got the guts to say it. And I'll tell you something else.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and believe that because you're gay and because Roger Ebert is straight, and he said essentially the same thing.
Oh, he didn't.
Well, he said he didn't like it.
But he didn't say it was like releasing a polio virus, did he?
No, I don't think he had to, man. And maybe he didn't really feel that way, okay?
Samuel Jackson looked like he was drunk. Do you have any idea the danger I am being in forwarded? Never mind.
I don't know what you're saying.
Neither do I.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Doug. I don't know how bad this movie is. It couldn't possibly be as bad as you say that it is. And for you to say that it was like giving gonorrhea to the Virgin Mary...
That's right. That's right. You won't hear a straight guy say that about the film, will you?
You really, honestly feel that way?
I think this movie is the worst abomination. It is like pus oozing.
You really feel that way?
Well, not really, no. I like the movie.
Then why are you on here saying this stuff?
Well, I'm just a gay man, and I like to make jokes like that. You gotta go see it.
Yeah, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Get him. Get some hot coffee into him. Phil Hendry Show. Releasing the polio virus. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, these guys that review films, I got a very favorite site. If you check it out on our webpage, it's called Jigsaw Lounge. They actually have a guy there that writes, his name's Neil Young. And he actually writes some really cool reviews. I like to read movie reviews, especially when they trash the movie. Is this sadistic of me? But I love to read Entertainment Weekly, the magazine, when they give a movie an F. Their writing is really funny. It's way better than when they give a movie an A and they just tinkle all over the director's leg because it's just so brilliant. But when a movie stiffs and, in their opinion, is a real stinker, boy, and they give it an F or like a D minus or something, it's hysterical, some of the stuff they write about how, you know, brain dead the actors were, how, like, the brain dead the screenwriter was, how absolutely... You know, somebody must have been on knotted out on heroin who was at the camera. I mean, the way they write about these movies, you'd think they handed the cameras out to, like, apes in the zoo or something. Which reminds me of my next project. I want to hand out cameras to apes in a zoo and just see kind of where that takes me, you know. I'm like Michael Moore. I'm going to experiment. I'm going to hand out apes in a zoo and have them hand out cameras to apes in the zoo and turn them loose in Columbine or something and see what we get. Anyway, some of the reviews are really fun. Yeah, I want to do like an abstract movie. Kind of video verite kind of a thing. You dig? Anyway, some of the reviews, we have, like I said, we've got a pretty good website called Jigsaw Lounge that I really dig. And this guy writes, he's a guy that writes positive reviews that I really enjoy reading because they're really intelligent. I like to read a cool review of a movie. I don't know if it's good, but... Some of these guys go out of their way to overdo it on a movie, you know. And if everybody is going to say that it sucks, like everybody, every critic says Star Wars sucks, then you do have to sort of top the other guy by saying things like, you know, it's gonorrhea to Virgin Mary. Well, I don't know. How bad can a movie be, though? And the other thing is, what difference does it make what you guys write? People are going to go see the movie. Although I don't think that a film critic is there to keep you from seeing a movie. Or are they? If a guy publishes his review in a newspaper about a movie and he says that the thing is the worst turd that ever fell out of the collective butt of Hollywood and it makes $8 billion in 3 seconds, well, I guess that just about says it all there for that film reviewer. I mean... My wife went to go see a play down on Melrose in Hollywood, and she showed me the review it got, which was before she went to see it, right? This was some performance art thing. She goes down to see, down on Melrose in Hollywood, in West Hollywood. And she showed me the review in the LA Times. I really want to see this. Oh, yeah, let me read the review. Real turd, you know, just can't even begin to say enough about how bad this thing is. Ridiculous, unfunny, crap on a heel, dog crap on your shoe. Don't go see it. And there's Maria. Okay, I'm off. What are you, nuts? You just like to read the critics and you do what they say, don't you? Yeah, well, you know, she's got a point. She's got a point. I mean, there's a couple of guys I really respect. Ebert's one of them. Although, I got to tell you something. After he gave that big thumbs up to AI, that was the end of the line for me and Roger Ebert. And he and I were tight. When it came to his column, I read him religiously, man. And then he gave that big thumbs up to AI, and I went in there, and I was as if someone had nailed me with a front. I can't remember. After watching AI, it felt like I had smoked angel dust. I just kind of, huh? Like someone hit me with a frying pan. That's the last I ever read that Ebert crap. Big thumbs up. But I do like to read these guys. I mean, maybe I'm the only one, right? My wife, she reads a review, and it says, if you go to see this movie, you'll be blinded. It'll be like putting knitting needles into your eyes. Oh, okay, I think I'll go. And she dragged me with her, too. And you know what? The guy from the LA Times was right. It sucked. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nothing wrong with it. Hey, you know what? They make enough bread. Why can't we have a little fun at their expense, huh? Hey, your movie, George, it sucks. Not that you care, right? You're going to make all kinds of Jim. Hey, you know what? The guy has got Spider-Man on the brain, too. He's got a... Apparently, he says he don't care whether he beats Spider-Man. Who, you know, whatever. So you don't make $8 billion, you make $6. 1-800-449-8686. Now, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, now that's a value. It's only $80. You go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and pick up a copy of the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. 65% polyester, 35% rayon, small, medium, large, extra large, extra, extra large. $80. What a deal. It'll be shipped within 2 to 4 weeks, and it's available to you by simply logging onto our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And also while you're there, get a backstage pass. All kinds of fun stuff, man, on our website. Check out our wall of female listeners and see the only 14 women that listen to our show. Audio archives, our celebrity ass poll, our webcast archive, the 30-day archive, and more. It's all there on the Phil Henry Show website, and it's only $6.95 a month. That's it, just $6.95 a month to get all this great audio. So go to the philhenryshow.com website, the official website of the Phil Henry Show. You'll be glad you did. Okay, Steve, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
Great. Hey, this is like one of the first times I've ever listened to this radio program. I think it's great so far. I just got to say that guy that was just on, the gay guy, sounded like an absolute idiot.
Oh, yeah?
And we just got done watching that movie, and I'm not a great fan of...
Well, that guy said that the Star Wars was like polio.
No.
But you might as well inhale the polio virus.
So let me tell you, my friend's here. He's a Star Wars fan, and he went in there like, I really like this, blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of like, well, okay, whatever, I'll see it. I saw it, I come out like, wow, that was a really great movie. I mean, there's some stupid parts with the girl, her acting was terrible. But other than
that. Where'd you see this movie?
Just now, in Waterville.
In Waterville, Maine?
No, Augusta, Maine.
Oh, so it was in wide release. I thought it was only released like in select cities.
No.
Or maybe it was only released in L.A. and Waterville, Maine.
That could be. You know, we're pretty important here.
No, I'm serious. It would be cool.
It
was a cool flick. That's good. I mean, that's great. I mean, we've had Spider-Man on the brain. We're just kind of shifting gears into Star Wars. That's cool. That's fine.
That was great. That's great. And the big thing about it is,
glad you
enjoyed it. Listening to this guy, saying, well, I'm gay and I'm this. Well, you know what? I'm gay too, but we're not all freaks.
Well, I mean, what? Because he doesn't like Star Wars? He's a freak?
Well, no, because he's like, well, I'm gay, and that's why, I'm saying it's not good.
Yeah.
Well, so what?
He says he's got the guts to say it.
Yeah, okay, wow.
Gay guys apparently have more guts, as far as he's concerned, and saying Star Wars is a pile of smoldering turd. Huh?
There's no difference between gay, black, white, Hispanic, or nothing. There's no difference. Everybody's the same.
Where are you calling from? You're in Augusta?
Yeah.
Get Doug back on the line, will you?
Who, me?
No, I'm talking to my producer.
Yeah, please do.
Doug?
Yo.
Okay, what's your name? Steve?
Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what do you want me to say?
Well, Steve was just talking to us about the Star Wars movie, Doug.
You know, Phil, I said everything that I want to say about that movie.
Well, this is a caller who wants to talk about it.
Hey, Doug?
Yes, sir.
Doug, we just got done watching that movie, and again, I'm not a big fan or a big, whatever, Star Wars, and I saw it, and I thought it had a lot of good points. As a matter of fact, it was probably the best movie I've seen in the last couple months.
Well, good for you. I'll tell you right now, what do you want me to tell you? Great.
Well, nothing.
Well, I'm glad you wasted your $8.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've worked in the film business as a critic for the last 20 years. I've been out of the closet for the last 8. And I can tell you that I have a little bit sharper eye in defining what these things are about.
Oh, right. I see.
All right, well, why do you say that?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have less reluctance to be honest about something. Most straight journalists are not going to be as honest.
Well.
You got to understand, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Huh.
All right?
Well, I'm a gay man in a straight world, and I still like
You're what?
I said I'm a gay man in a straight world, and I still like
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You're a gay man?
Yes.
Well, then you're not being honest with yourself.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think you... Well, what's so funny about that?
Because you're talking like a lunatic.
How am I talking like a...
Well, wait a minute. I want to jump in, Phil.
Wait, you're a straight man, okay?
Who is?
Mr. Henry is. And he can't understand what you and I would be talking about, because if you think Star Wars...
Wait a minute. Why can't I understand? Star Wars is a movie...
My gay eyes is going... Steve, I know you were gay, and I knew you'd call me. And I'll tell you right now,
if you liked
Star Wars, you are lying to yourself, because there isn't a gay man, there's not a homosexual in America that liked that movie.
Well, there's two of us sitting here. We both kind of liked it, and you know what?
I kind of liked it.
I'll tell you the reason I called is because, you know what? There's a lot of normal... decent gay people out there that don't sound so ridiculous as
wait,
you.
Wait a minute, I know
they really sound
how
like
do
an
I sound,
idiot.
How do I
That's
sound?
All I get to
what
say.
What did I say that made it sound ridiculous?
What's that?
What did I say that made it sound ridiculous?
You keep going on about this gay thing like there's a difference.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? I'll tell you, being a gay man, I know that Star Wars is a smoldering turd. And
you give all us normal guys a bad rep. That's all I get to say.
Steve, you know that because you're gay and because I'm gay, that it's just the fact that Star Wars sucks ape. Mr. Henry couldn't know this because he's straight.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got it. Because I'm straight, I don't know that Star Wars sucks.
Right.
Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
I don't really care about the movie.
Steve, are you calling, or Doug, are you calling from an elevator?
I'm in a freight elevator, yeah.
I keep hearing the door going open and shut.
There it goes again.
I wish it would shut so it'd be disconnected, actually. It'd be kind of good.
Oh, you would? So now you hate my guts.
I don't hate anybody. I just think that it's ridiculous, and you give every gay person a bad reputation because you put on this agenda.
I agree.
Well, I'm giving you a bad... Only why? Just simply because I said Star Wars was like giving gonorrhea to the Virgin Mary?
Hey, you're just as racist and you're just as bigotry as any other person that thinks that there's actually a difference. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. You're the
All
one
I said
here.
Was that releasing this movie was like giving gonorrhea to the Virgin Mary. What's so bad about that?
No. Oh, I'm a gay man, whatever.
I'm a gay man.
Who cares?
Are you a gay man? I'm gay.
Wow.
You're just jealous because you're not.
He's been saying for the last 10 minutes he is.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Okay, listen,
Steve, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thanks for being had.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.